Thank you all for being here this morning. I want you to take your Bibles with us. We're going to read several verses in Genesis, the 24th chapter. Longest book in the book of Genesis, longest chapter, I should say. I'm going to read just a portion of it this morning. Genesis chapter 24, beginning verse number 1. Genesis 24 and beginning verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, Eleazar, amen, chapter 15, verse 2 will tell us who it was, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware, thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even that time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass, that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born in Bethel, to Bethel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And then we want to skip to verse 61. We're going to go past where he talks there with Rebekah's brother, Laban. And verse 61, and Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode up on the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lehori, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and his lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Amen, and respectfully got off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walked in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Amen. A symbol of subjection to the man. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Kind of a lot of verses here this morning. Amen. But we want to draw your attention to some thoughts here. You probably remember hearing statements or have heard statements like, ew, girls. Yuck, boys. She has cooties. He is so disgusting. You may remember Or do you remember sayings, things like that, to that effect when you were 6 or 7 years old? Typically, children begin playing together with the opposite sex at a very early age, and there's no problem with that. But then there's a period of time through which they pass when they want little to nothing to do with each other. According to a veteran second grade teacher, she said this: "My boys want to roughhouse, tackle each other, roll around in dirt. The girls prefer playing school, jump roping, or jumping rope, or just walking around arm in arm. Now, once in a while, there's a boy who'll cross the playground, get on the jump roping, and there's always that one little powerhouse girl who's right in there with the boys. But these are the exception, definitely not the rule." Did you know that there's actually a difference between boys and girls? Did you know that? You see, a boy can go to his closet and say, "I have nothing to wear." And what he's actually saying is, "There's nothing clean to wear." But a girl goes to the closet and says, "I have nothing to wear." And what she's saying is, "I have nothing that fits in my closet." No one laughed. Well, anyhow, it's funny to me. Amen. Boys and girls are different. And Genesis 1:27, way back at the dawn of creation, the Bible says he created male and female and put a difference between boys, girls, men, and women. Now, don't go to sleep on me this morning. Then there's the middle school years. And we hear statements like, "She sat by me today at lunch. Woo-wee. She looked my way. I'm sure she must like me. He smells so good. I wonder what cologne he has on today." And these same individuals that they once despised, thought were disgusting, wanted nothing to do with, they now want to sit right up close to him and enjoy the aroma and the scent. Amen. His hand graced across my hand. Woo, and the chills fly. Things change internally for boys and girls. And externally, boys and girls begin to look different. Boys make the transition into manhood, girls into womanhood. Boys begin to ask for things like deodorant and cologne. Sometimes parents, we got to encourage this, don't we? Especially in middle school and early high school. Woo-wee! You ever go into a locker room? Amen. Boys begin to ask for things like deodorant, cologne. Girls begin to ask for perfume and other things. The same opposite sex that once despised each other enjoys each other's presence. Amen. And from that point on, great care, consideration, concern, and prayer is needed to see that each young person, amen, successfully makes it through these challenging years and the ones that follow. Amen. Parents, tonight or this morning, if you have children in the teenage years, amen, you know the daunting task at hand. Amen. When once they asked for a piece of candy, now they're asking for the car keys. Amen. That's a big transition. Amen. When once they wanted to go to little Johnny's house, now they're asking to go visit Susie. Amen. And these things change. I'm speaking to youth this morning, and I'll get there, but parents, I'm speaking to you as well. Amen. God would have some wisdom here to help us in these challenging years. It's important, amen, this event that follows, adolescence, amen, is what we're getting at this morning, is one of the most, second to salvation, the most important event, amen, that we know of in this life. Our text is Genesis 24:14, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. and thereby shall I know that thou hast shewed kindness unto my master. Amen. The New International Version says, let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. This morning, I'd like to dwell for a while on the thought of choosing a companion. Amen. Next to the decision of whether or not you're going to follow the Lord, choosing a companion is the most important decision, young people, you will ever make. Amen. Now, older folks this morning, don't tune me out, because you need this wisdom to counsel young people. Next to salvation, the most life-affecting decision you will make is who you're going to marry. This decision is so serious that it actually has the potential to have eternal implications and repercussions. Many people have suffered tremendously, have even lost out with God eternally, because they chose the wrong companion. Amen. Now let's look at our scripture reading this morning, Genesis 24. Abraham is a type of God the Father. Jesus referred to him as Father Abraham. Eleazar, amen, Abraham's eldest servant, is a type of the Holy Spirit who went out to seek out Isaac's companion from a far country. Amen. The message came on camels, which is a type of God's ministry. Amen. Young people, this morning, your pastor brings you good news. Proverbs 31 lets us know, from a far country. And that good news this morning is God has one companion for you. Amen. And he knows who it is. Amen. We may not be able to put our finger on it this morning, but we want to give you some wisdom and some counsel and some guidance on how you can settle down to figure out who that one companion is. God has not left us without understanding, without knowledge on this subject. Amen. And this very chapter in which we're looking this morning, the longest in Genesis, amen, dwells upon this very thought. Now, Isaac was 40 years old. Abraham was 140. Sarah had been dead for about 3 years. Now listen to you old maids out there. Don't get discouraged. Isaac was 40 years old, still living with dad. Amen. The best place for every young person. Amen. If you have saved parents, is at home. Amen. And Isaac was there, 40 years old. Amen. And here's God the Father, his father Abraham, a type of God the Father, seeking out a servant. Do you know that God is concerned about who you marry? He's vitally concerned. The same God that created this universe, that created you and me, that chose us to live in this day. Amen. He's got a companion in this day. So often young people are so close-minded and they think that all I see here and now is all there will ever be, and I don't see anyone. But God's got his message in a far country. He's got his companion in a far country, maybe in another congregation that he's molding, making, preparing for you. And at the right time, he'll send her out to the well. Amen. And out there to the service, wherever the meeting place is. Amen. And God will show you who that is. Now I'm going to give you a realistic picture this morning of marriage, because I'm going to tell you something. You won't find this in Hollywood. You won't find the true picture of a happy home in Hollywood. At the end of many books, you find that little catchphrase, and they lived happily ever after. And wouldn't that be nice if it were that easy? But it's not that easy. There are trials, there are struggles, there's tribulation in marriage. But God would have us to have a happy home. And it starts with choosing the right one. Amen. So I want to give you a realistic picture this morning of marriage. Now bear in mind, young people, that the person, the companion you choose, you'll pass through sickness together with them. You'll pass through the birthing and raising of children together. You'll encounter hard economic times, difficult decisions, and most importantly, you'll spend the rest of your life with that individual. If God would permit you to live to be an older age, you'll experience the joy of growing old together. Isn't it fun getting old? Amen. Growing old together. Amen. All of the serious and important stages of life will be dwelt with and handled as husband and wife. Now, the one you're interested in this morning, amen, the one that you're looking at and interested in this morning is the youngest they will ever be right now. Amen. And I would say they're the most attractive, although I think that you should beautify as you age, as we spoke last night. But let's just say they're the youngest they'll ever be. Amen. As we said last night, those bumps that are out may turn in. The ones that are in may turn out. Amen. Your body shape may change a little bit. Your looks may change a little bit. Amen. What you're looking at right now, amen, is the youngest they'll ever be. And from that point on, amen, the glory of aging, the process goes forward. Now we want to look this morning, just quickly consider some wedding vows, and you know them well, I'm sure. But I know this, when I got married, that my mind was, although I went through the vows, there's so many things that take place on that the day of marriage, that it's hard just to really take it all in. You know what I mean? All right, a few of you. It's so much going on, you know, all the arranging, the plans, the family, the audience, and kind of the hype of it all, and the excitement. So I want to just look at some vows here quickly this morning, because I want our young people to just remember and consider these things yet again this morning, because I'm trying to put together here a realistic picture of what marriage is. Amen. Now, the wedding vows go something to this effect. I, and you can insert your name, take you, the opposite sex name, to be my wife or husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish from this day forward until death do us part. This companion whom you choose will be someone you will live the rest of your life with. According to God's plan, you'll remain together until death does you part. Now listen to me. This may amount to 50, 60, 70 years. Amen. You'll be husband and wife together. Amen. Yes, it is wonderful. Are you beginning to see the importance of this once-in-a-lifetime decision? It's important. Amen. This business of getting married is not like getting to the Cracker Jack box and trying to pull out some little gift or some little surprise down there and trying to fish around for it. Amen. God has one appointed for you. He's chosen one for you. Amen. And you must seek his face. You must ask God who it is. Amen. My desire this morning is not to scare you away from marriage. Marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. Amen. The whoremonger and adulterer, God will judge. Marriage is wonderful. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:14, I desire that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give no reproach to the enemy to speak evil of you. Amen. The Bible lets us know that it's God's desire that the younger women marry. That's God's desire. Amen. That's his will. Marriage is wonderful. It's the best institution. It was around before the church was. Amen. The church is no greater than the homes that assemble in the church. The homes must be at peace. The homes must be, amen, eye to eye, seeing each other alike and in harmony and peacefulness if we're going to have God's presence in the church and the worship service. Amen. God created the institution of marriage way back in the Garden of Eden when he took Eve out of Adam. Amen. Right out of Adam and made them husband or man and wife. Amen. This institution of marriage is awesome. And I wouldn't discourage anyone from it. But I'm simply wanting you to realize and just remind you this morning of the seriousness of it. But the burden behind the message this morning is just simply to warn us, especially our young people, of this important decision. Amen. And the many pitfalls and dangers that could come as a result of choosing the wrong one. The message is choosing a companion. Oh, what an important choice this morning. You've heard it said, I'm sure. There's one thing worse than never getting married, and it's getting married to the wrong one. Amen. You want a rough life, you get in a house with a contentious woman, a hard to live with man, and you'll have a terrible amen, go of life. Proverbs 21, and that's not me, that's the Bible. 21:19, I'll give it to you. Proverbs, the 21st chapter, I believe it is. 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Let me give it to you in the New Living. It's better to live alone in the desert than with a crabby, complaining wife. Amen. What a comparison. Live all by yourself. It's better than to get in a home with a crabby, complaining, amen, wife. It could be husband as well. What an extreme comparison, amen, the wise man makes here. Now we know this, through statistics of our land in the United States alone, that well over 50% of homes today are ending in divorce. Amen. And I want to say this, that I believe that number would be much higher. But man has figured out some things on their own, and they're choosing, and these things aren't good. Amen. God's against it. The Bible preaches against it. But man today is doing what's called cohabitation. Amen. They're not even getting married. They're living together like married people, but not getting married. And so I believe it's taking those statistics down just a bit. But I believe it'd be well over 50, probably well over 60. If everyone that were living like married people at one time, amen, and split off, if that was in that statistic. Amen. The point here is that the plan for marriage in the world's not working. Amen. I tell our young people, the counsel for life is not out here at Dr. So-and-so, not out here with this counselor. The counsels for life are right here and with your God called pastor. He's got the best counsel for you. Amen. The world has nothing to offer us. I don't even believe God's people have any business getting counseling for life out here in the world. Amen. If God's plan for choosing a companion and for marriage is followed, there need never be a divorce. If God's plan and if both spouses remain true, there never need be divorce. God's plan for the home is 100% divorce proof. Amen. Every marriage, if entered into and followed according to the word of God, will remain intact for the duration of this life. You remember when Jesus was hit up there by the Pharisees concerning divorce? Jesus took them right back to the beginning, right back to the blueprint, and he said, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Amen. Or the Greek says divide or put an end to. In addition, the marriage union will be a beautiful picture of something God instituted. Amen. We're preaching this morning about choosing a companion. While choosing the right companion won't ensure a problem-free marriage, it certainly will set you up for a successful one. You can be assured of this. If God places you together as husband and wife, he can keep you together. And that many times will be an assurance when you go through some rough times. Amen. Many times those first few years of marriage are kind of difficult. I like to tell our congregation at home, I've told them many times, I was 27 years old when I got married, and I was kind of self-sufficient. I lived at home, but I washed my own clothes, many times cooked my own meals, did my own cleaning, just sort of took care of myself. And so when I got married, there were some adjustments I had to make because my wife didn't do every single thing like I maybe was used to. And I've said before, and I'll say it now, and that is when I got married, I didn't realize how many pet peeves I had. You know, like leaving the lid of the garbage up. That drives me crazy. I don't like all that phooey stuff getting out in the air. And, you know, different things about the home, they're just kind of would drive me nuts. But I've learned. We've learned to work together to where our home is a peaceful place. As home should be. A home should be a haven on earth. It should be a place where children want to resort to, not where they want to run away from. Amen. It's a place where children want to go, where they can see mom and dad in union and harmony and getting along. Amen. There's too much fussing and fighting today among married couples. Amen. My wife and I have talked about this, and it's very sad, but children are so innocent and pure-minded, and God created them that way. And to think that a childhood or a child has one childhood through which they will pass, and to think that parents would ruin that by abusing them, by cursing, swearing, that's sad. Some of you maybe were raised that way, and you know that it still affects you today. Those memories still affect you and haunt you. Amen. God, help every one of our homes this morning to be all God would have them to be, places of harmony. Amen. You can work out disagreements without raising your voice. You can work out disagreements without yelling at each other. Amen. Just do it in a civilized way. Sit down. Let's talk it through. Let's talk about it. Let's do it when the children aren't around. Let's be careful how we're talking to each other. It's important. Amen. It's important how we speak to our children as well. Now let's look at it a little bit this morning. Your marriage will take work. Getting married is just the beginning, but it's worth all the effort. Everything that has value costs something. Marriage is the oldest and most valuable institution there is. Amen. As I said, the local congregation's no greater than the homes that assemble there. If there's chaos and turmoil in the home, our worship services will not be acceptable to God. A marriage is a God-appointed institution for companionship, the raising of children, the saving of souls, and a way to express God's love for humanity. The marriage institution also shows God's plan for authority, leadership, and is a metaphor of his love for the church. Amen. In the home, Father takes the lead, just as in a local congregation, the pastor. Amen. In the universal church, God, he's the head. In a home, the husband is the head. And the apostle Paul set that straight in Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Now this morning, we want to just start into a list we have here. Amen. We'll go on later, Lord willing. But we want to look in our scripture reading, 9 keys to finding the right companion as they appear in our scripture reading this morning. Amen. I believe the following order, if these 9 keys are followed, if they're sought out, you will find the right companion. Now this list is not in chronological order, but it's simply the way it appears in our scripture reading. So let's look at it this morning. Genesis 24th chapter, we're going to begin the list this morning. Genesis 24, let's begin verse 1 again. And Abraham was old, about 140, and well stricken in age. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth. And thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. First of all, young people, I want to tell us this morning, to find the right companion, you must look in the right place. You must look in the right place. Now, when I hit some of these points this morning, please don't run off and be offended with me. Amen. I'm only preaching the gospel. Amen. But listen to me here. I don't believe God's plan is that we get on a computer to find our companions and go on these dating sites. And I'm sorry if I offend someone this morning. I'm just going to preach you the Bible. Amen. This is old-fashioned Church of God preaching. God's plan is still that we find our companion at church. Amen. Dating headquarters for the people of God's in heaven. Amen. That's dating headquarters. God chooses. God appoints. God commands. Amen. And the dating sites is the church of God. Youth gatherings, revivals, camp meetings. Those are the dating sites. That's where we seek out companionship. Amen. If you were away from God and you found a companion somewhere else and your home is good this morning and it's intact and it's serving God, God's been merciful to you. But I'm preaching you the rule, not the exception. Amen. The rule is that we find a companion in the right place. Amen. At church. Amen. I often wonder, what did the older parents, what did you do before they had all those dating sites? Come on now. I've heard many stories of older ones in the cars of their companion, or their, you know, to-be companion, their person they're courting, with children running all over the back seat, and they were going to church and going to meetings. That was their courting. That was their dating. Amen. How great is that? Today, we see young people going out to theaters and rock concerts and ballrooms and secular events and finding someone in the crowd and running away. amen, getting married. That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Amen. Sometimes God may have mercy and bring you together, and that's great, and he may show mercy. But that's not God's plan. I can't preach for that. I have yet to find that in the Word of God, but I'm preaching in the Bible this morning. God's dating site is church. Amen. At the house of God. Look at verse 13. Genesis 24 and 13 says this. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it be to pass the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. She shall say, drink, and I will give thy damsels drink, or their camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed. Amen. This was a well to the living one. Amen. A picture of the Holy Spirit, or the drawing out of God's Spirit, his presence from that well. It was an individual who was saved. She was drawing water. She was feasting on God's goodness. She went to church to be fed. Amen. This is a type of all those things. The best place to find a companion still at the house of prayer. Amen. And youth gatherings. I encourage our young people to go to revivals, go to camp meeting, go to God's Acres. It's where I found mine. Amen. God can still do the same. Don't look to the world or worldly people. The best place to seek companions at church. Amen. Look at where Isaac was. And look at what he was doing when he met Rebekah. Let's go back to Genesis 24, verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well. And I'm going to probably mispronounce this. Lehi-Rai. Amen. Which means a well to the living one who sees me. For he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field. This is a far cry from what young people are doing today. Amen. I'm not against the fun and the enjoyment of life, and youth certainly should enjoy those things. But there should also be a time of seriousness. And certainly the house of prayer should never be a funny business or a silly time. Amen. We're operating on men and women's souls this morning. Isaac went out to meditate. Amen. God, Isaac was out communing with God when he sent along his companion. Isaac came from the well, or from spending time with Jesus, our life, our well, our spring of living water. He was meditating, praying in a quiet place, out in the field, when he saw the camels and Rebekah coming. Let me ask you this question. Just think about it this morning. Could you marry your companion in the same place that you first met her? Could you go to that place and marry her in this first place you ever met her? There are many people who would be ashamed to go back there. Amen. Again, I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad, but I want you to think about these things. A Christian has no business down at a dance hall, bar, some of these worldly activities. Amen. The best place to meet a companion is at church. Now the next thing we find in our scripture reading this morning, Genesis 24. We find that God laid out the plan for marriage, that marriage be in the Lord, that it be a people of the same people you are. Amen. Those of your own country, those of your own dwelling, those of your own beliefs. Amen. Which ought to be the Bible beliefs. Amen. We are to marry in the Lord. Genesis 24 and beginning verse 3. And I will make thee swear by the Lord of the God of heaven and the God of the earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my sons and the daughters of Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country, my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. You'll notice that the bride for Isaac could not be an outsider. In other words, Isaac's bride must be a saved individual, one from the fold or family of God. Amen. It's of utmost importance that you marry a saved and a strongly individual person this morning. Amen. Young people, when you get in the home, when you get married, there'll be many decisions to make. And most of your decisions will fall right back on spiritual lines. It's hard to think about any decisions in the course of our day without considering God, isn't it? About every decision we make through the course of our day is, well, what would God have us to do here? Now, if someone has a different God in the home, there's a conflict and there's a problem. and much strife and much contention. And I wonder, why? Why would young people want to seek strife, contention, battle? Amen. I'm enjoying a happy home this morning, but it's because I'm married to a safe companion. Why would you want contention? Why would you want bickering, fussing, fighting? Amen. Well, you'll get this if you marry outside the Lord. Amen. The Bible lets us know back in Genesis the sixth chapter, and beginning verse number 1. Amen. Genesis 6 and 1 says this, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, that daughters were born unto them. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, beautiful, attractive. They took them wives of all which they chose." Amen. Not God's choosing. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for this, that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. We know that this was one of the reasons God brought destruction on the antediluvian age, because the daughters, or the sons of God, saw the daughters of men, and they chose wives of their own choosing. Amen, the men. Amen. The mere mention of this in Genesis, the sixth chapter, lets us know how serious this business of choosing a companion is. It brought destruction to the whole world. Amen. God wants saved homes this morning. Not just individual. He wants a saved home. He wants a whole house that's saved. Amen. You see, one of the ways that we actually win people is to bring them into our home. Let them see, wow, they live this way. It's easy to go out in the public and kind of put on, you know, a nice suit and look respectable. But at home, things are kind of, you know, you're a little more relaxed. And I remember different ones that have been saved in our congregation, comments they've made is, when we were at the Stegmaier house, it was like love bouncing off the walls. They saw the interaction, the children running around, playing. Amen. And the parents at ease and relaxed and calm and love flowing around. And that actually won them to the truth. But if our homes aren't this way, it's pretty hard to win people. Amen. We need this. Oh, we need this morning. Amen. I only bring this to encourage you to keep living for God. Amen. God spared Noah and his sons and their wives. This lets us know that God was pleased with their marriages. But everyone else, God destroyed. God destroyed. Oh, how important this is this morning. Amen. Noah's sons must have chosen companions whom God was pleased with. Amen. We must marry in the Lord. Back in Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter. Let's look there quickly. Amen. Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter, beginning verse number 1. It says this. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they shall turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly." Parents, this is the way we should counsel our children. Marry in the Lord. That one you're interested in, that you think so handsome or cute or whatever it may be, amen, is not serving God. Amen. There's this misconception that when you get married, that salvation just automatically enters the house. That's not true. Many times it's much worse, much harder to see an individual saved after you get married. Amen. Many times much conflict arises. We are the chosen people this morning. We're God's chosen nation. And God requires the same thing as he did, amen, back in Moses' day. God's plan is still that we married a saved companion. one who's walking in the light and is of the same persuasion that we are. Look at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 15 says this. 1 Corinthians 6 and 15 says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid." What? "Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." Listen to the Apostle Paul's words here. Amen. And his advice to the church of God. Amen. Paul preached the same message that Moses did some 1,500 years or so later. Amen. He let us know in 1 Corinthians 7:39 that we're to marry only in the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 7:39, the wife's bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband is to be dead, she's at liberty to marry to whom she will. Only in the Lord. Amen. Saints of God, this morning, this is still God's plan. Amen. If you're single this morning, if your spouse has passed away, amen, or there's been a conflict there and you've been set at liberty to marry, or if you're a young person this morning and you're certainly looking for a companion, you can marry, but you must follow this provision if you want God to bless your home. Marry in the Lord. Marry a saved companion. Amen. If you're not saved this morning and you want to get married, get saved first. Amen. And God will give you the best companion you could ever ask for. You remember with Samson and Solomon, this was their problem. They loved and lusted after many strange women or girls that weren't of their own people. Amen. And those worldly women turned their hearts from God. Amen. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Your hearts must be equally interested and invested in the same things. If not, this will gender strife and contention in the marriage and in the home. Amen. Thirdly, amen. Young people this morning, listen to me. Don't force the issue. Many young people get their sights and their minds so made up, much like Balaam. God talked to him 3 times. Twice he said, "Don't go." And then he gave him, sort of permission, but only speak my word. But God still stopped him in his tracks. Amen. But Balaam was forcing the issue, and that displeased the Lord. Amen. And young people this morning, I want to encourage you, don't force the issue. If it's meant to be, it'll work out. "Oh, but someone else likes them, and they're going to run away, and someone else is going to take them away, and oh, I've got to do it now." Well, maybe they're not the right one for you. Don't force the issue. Genesis, the 24th chapter, beginning in verse number 7, just a couple of verses. Genesis 24 and 7 says this, "The Lord God of heaven." This is all in the Word of God. This is not my ideas. Amen. Don't force the issue. It says right here, "Amen. He shall send his angel before thee. Thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee or follow the man," you're free from this oath. You're at liberty. Amen. In other words, if she's not obedient, if she's not willing to submit, don't take her. Amen, young brethren. Amen. God commands you to lay the law in the home. God still holds men responsible to take control of the home. Amen. It's a union. We're equal. We work together. But the authority starts with the man. Amen. And I can give you many scriptures on this. Amen. But it starts with the head of the home. Remember when Eve had her problem? God didn't come hunting for Eve. He came hunting for Adam. Amen. Where art thou? Amen. Saints of God this morning, husbands, we must step up to the plate. Take the leadership in the home. Be real men. Amen. Command Bible study. Get the Word of God out in the home. Have prayer. Amen. Take the leadership in our decisions. Amen. Every decision, we should talk about it. Amen. When my wife goes to make a decision, usually all the time, amen, even the smallest of matters. What's for dinner? Well, most times we talk about it. What sounds good? Amen. It's not, "We're going to do this regardless of what you say." We work together. Amen. And we as brethren must take the leading role. Amen. So the Bible says, don't force the issue. If it's the right one, you'll know. If it's a perfect match, it will work itself out perfectly. Much heartache has come from ones who have forced their way and married outside of their parents, the pastor, and the Lord's consent. Amen. Don't force the issue. The Bible says of Balaam, he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. God was trying to prevent him. Amen. And many times God stands in the way of a marriage. That's not scriptural. That's not lawful. That's not God's will. And people force it. And you know what happens? They end in shipwreck. Amen. And much hurtful lust. Amen. They may get married, and the husband ends up running out and cheating on the wife, and she's left with bitter tears and a child on the way. This happens. Amen. Or vice versa. Amen. This decision is so serious. You see, some people get in the way, and others are in the way so that God can lead them. You remember what the Bible says in Genesis 24:27 about Eleazar as he went out to seek the companion for Isaac? The Bible says, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Amen. Now just a little bit more this morning. Remember that God has ways and God has thoughts and God has plans that are far beyond our reasoning and thinking ability. Amen. We may look at a situation and say there's just no way or there's just no one. But God's still able to furnish a table in the wilderness. He's still able to make something out of nothing. God has that ability. Amen. So trust him this morning. God will lead you in the right path, and this is the only way to ensure the right result, is to travel in the right path. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This morning, young people, I want to tell you, don't get in a hurry. Amen. And I got many more points. We'll go on, I think, tonight. But I want to tell you that to don't get in a hurry. Amen. God has a period of time called waiting. That is so extremely important. Amen. During this time of courting, amen, which is very important. Amen. Let me say this. Don't rush anything. If the person you're courting is wanting to get married right away, there may be a problem. There's nothing wrong with waiting. Waiting. And during that time of courting, you get to learn about each other. You know each other. Amen. Not the way the world operates, but I mean you talk a lot about life, about raising children, about the truth. Amen. And you talk and you get to know and become acquainted. And during that waiting period, he fashions you. He works. If you don't even have anyone in mind right now, that's okay. God's going to work on you, and he's working on your companion wherever they may be. And during this period of waiting, he's fashioning you. He's fashioning you. And there's a poem I'm going to end with this morning that speaks about why God many times has us wait. Amen. Again, that fourth point was don't force the issue. Amen. Don't force. Or there was the third point, I guess. Don't force the issue. Amen. There's a poem that's called Wait. Desperately, helplessly, longing I cried. Quietly, patiently, lovingly, God replied. I pled and I wept for a clue to my fate. And the master so gently said, wait. Wait? You say wait? My indignant reply. Lord, I need answers. I need to know why. Is your hand shortened? Or have you not heard? By faith I have asked, and I'm not claiming, and I am claiming your word. My future and all to which I relate hangs in the balance, and you tell me, wait? I'm needing a yes, a go-ahead sign, or even a no to which I can resign. You promised, dear Lord, that if we believe, we need but to ask and we shall receive. And Lord, I've been asking, and this is my cry. I'm weary, I'm asking, I need a reply. Then quietly, softly, I learned of my fate. As my master replied, again, wait. So I slumped in my chair, defeated and tout, and grumbled to God, so I'm waiting for what? He seemed then to kneel, and his eyes met with mine, and he tenderly said, I could give you a sign. I could shake the heavens and darken the sun. I could raise the dead and cause mountains to run. I could give all you seek, and pleased you would be. You'd have what you want, but you wouldn't know me. You'd not know the depth of my love for each saint. You'd not know the power that I give to the faint. You'd not learn to see clouds through clouds of despair. You'd not learn to trust just by knowing I'm there. You'd not know the joy of resting in me when darkness and silence are all you can see. You'd never experience the fullness of love when the peace of my spirit descends like a dove. You would know that I give and I save for a start, but you'd not know the depth of the beat of my heart. The glow of my comfort late into the night, the faith that I give when you walk without sight, the depth that's beyond getting what you ask from an infinite God who makes what you have last. You never know, should your pain quickly flee, what it means that my grace is sufficient for thee. Yes, your dearest dreams of overnight would come true, but oh, the loss if you missed what I'm doing in you. So be silent, my child, and in time you will see that the greatest of gifts is to truly know me. And though oft my answers seem terribly late, my most precious answer of all still is wait. Wait. There's nothing wrong this morning in waiting. Don't force the issue. Amen. I'm going to close this morning. We precious young people, we love you. And that's why we bring these messages. We want to see you, amen, progress and prosper in this life and in the things of God. Choosing the right companion, again, next to salvation, is the most important decision you will ever make. Amen. If this choice for you was made while you were in sin and your marriage is together tonight, that's God's mercy. But I'm telling you, and I know most of you here, worship here, you know the truth. And God doesn't operate many times with mercy. The Bible says to those who know better, the Bible says to whom much is given, much is required. You know better. Amen. You know what God requires of you this morning. If you choose to go out and reject the message and choose a companion on your own without seeking God, you will pay. Parents, this morning, this message, I hope will help you. Amen. And tonight as well, it'll help you in counseling your children. Amen. If you haven't made the decision yet, amen, this message should serve as a warning to you to consider who you are dating right now or who you're interested in dating. Could you see yourself, think about it with me here, could you see yourself engaging in a lifelong relationship with that person? Many times I hear young people say, well, they're just fun, you know, we're gonna date for a while and then we're gonna break it off sometime and then we'll get serious about serving God. Let me tell you the problem with this situation. Feelings get intertwined. Amen. And you become connected. Amen. The wise men said a cord, what is it now? Thrice interwoven there is not quickly broken. I can't remember exactly the scripture there. Amen. When your connections and your emotions get intertwined, amen, they're hard to break. I know what I'm talking about. When you get connected with an individual, you become emotionally attached too. Young men, I don't think it's right. I don't believe it's right that boys, amen, can get involved with all these girls, amen, and then expect God to just give them this perfect, chaste virgin of a wife someday. It's not fair. That's not fair. And it's not fair, you young ladies, amen, to mess around and do things you had not to be doing and expect God just to give you a chaste, saved, clean companion. God may do that, and that's his mercy. Amen. But you're overstepping the word of God. Amen. When you operate presumptuously that way. Amen. Young people this morning, consider it. Amen. Whom are you interested in? Who are you dating this morning? Are they someone you'd be willing to grow old with? Are they someone you could build a godly home together with? Amen. I want to warn you, be careful of a person who wants to rush through courtship and have just a quick little wedding. There's nothing wrong with waiting. There's nothing wrong with postponing the wedding for just a little bit. Amen. You'll know when it's the right time. When the I do's are said and the minister pronounces you husband and wife, that's it. It's a final transaction that cannot be overturned. Amen. Certainly it's not God's plan that it be overturned. Young person, remember when dating, you're seeing that individual at their very best. They dress themselves up. They act the best for you when they're dating you. But once they got you, look out. Unless they're a saved person this morning. Amen. This will change after marriage many times. They've dressed their best, smelt their best, looked their best, acted their best, but often after marriage changes. Precious young people this morning, take your time. Be sure that the person you're becoming close with is truly the one that God has picked for you. Amen. If you're not even interested in anyone this morning, take this message to heart and store it away, because someday you will be. I'm never getting married. Oh, come on now. Someday someone will come along, sweep you off your feet, and you'll just enter this realm of everlasting happiness. Amen. Only if God's in it. Amen. Everlasting, that is. So I ask you to take heed to the message this morning. Be careful. Amen. The person you're involved with, be careful of the connections there. Amen. We brought 3 points this morning. Take them to heart. Be careful. Amen. And God, truly, He will send one at just the right time. He'll send a companion. Amen. When you're ready and when that companion's ready. Amen. Shall we stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings this morning.